Welcome to the Family Cycling Podcast. I'm Alex BB, I'm a stay-at-home dad and I love to cycle. We live a car-free lifestyle. In order to get around, we go everywhere by cargo bike. And I'm here with my friend Karen G. We've decided to do a podcast on family cycling.
My name's Karen G. My background is that I've got two teenage boys, and when they were little, I was a bit fed up that I couldn't find any information on how to cycle with them, so I set up the website CycleSprog. And over the years, we've done loads of different cycling in lots of different places, and we currently live just on the edge of the Lake District in northwest England, where it's very hilly and very rainy.
Today, we're discussing winter. It's great to go out cycling in the winter, but if you get it wrong, the kids will get cold and they'll remember.
In this episode on winter cycling, Alex and I are going to be interviewing Paul Ebray from a company called Little Pro, who's an expert on all things to do with kids' winter cycling kit. And we've put in the show notes at the bottom of the episode all the links to where you can find all the things so you don't have to scribble them down as you're listening. We'd also love to hear from you about how you cycle with kids and any hints and tips and any great products that you've found. So do drop us a little note in the comments below as well.
So without further ado, we give you the Family Cycling Podcast.
So Alex, I think we ought to talk about the winter, seeing as we're in the winter, and how do you carry on cycling during the colder, wetter months with your kids?
One of my favourite things was being out with my kids in the woods, and it really did look like we were going to kind of Santa's house. So I'm really keen on this topic. Do you have any sort of good winter cycling memories?
Yeah, there was a couple of years ago when the winter was just perfect for cycling. Some years it is just torrential rain, but we had a sort of a dry, cold winter. And it just stopped that cabin fever that you get, you know, when the kids are inside and nobody can go out and you can't go out in the evenings. And just to be able to get out at the weekend when they weren't at school and ride, it just releases a valve, I think, in everybody.
What sort of age are your kids? Are they hard to get out cycling?
They are a bit harder now. They're teenagers now. So, I mean, I'm talking a couple of years ago now, but now they'll still go out cycling. It's not a problem, but they want to do different things now. So they want to go further and higher and more difficult.
Yeah, my eldest is six, and I sometimes find that when I'm cycling with him in the winter, I'm sort of dragging him out, and we have to do quite a lot to bribe them, particularly in January. In the past, I've even taken a little camping stove with us and cooked burgers while we've been out, just so
that
there's
a
sort of reward at the top of the hill.
Yeah, I find a flask of tomato soup as well is really good to motivate them, or the promise of hot chocolates when you get back.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things for me that was revelation for winter cycling was getting a thermos cup, so I could have coffee with me on the go, and realising that as you're sort of bombing along with cold wind in your face, that you can then add cold liquid to your head is quite good. It's something I like until I spill it on my trousers.
Is that hot liquid?
Yeah, I take coffee with me
right.
Sometimes in the winter. But yeah, as I say, it's one of those keep cups, and it's not particularly good if you go over a bump.
I did see somebody on the Family Cycling UK Facebook group, which is actually incidentally where we met, wasn't it, Alex?
That's it.
Who recommended putting the coffee into a Camelback, which is one of those things that you put in a little rucksack on your back, and that keeps you warm on your back and as you're drinking as well. I haven't tried that. I'm not sure whether it would melt my Camelback, but I thought that's a genius idea.
It is, yeah. It's up there with a guy I heard about who used to boil two eggs for his lunch, and then just put them in his pockets hot and walk to work as hand warmers, which is kind of like on the edge of insanity. So Karen, in your sort of expert opinion, what do you think are the main issues for winter cycling?
I think mainly it's keeping warm, keeping everybody warm, keeping everybody dry, because, I mean, you don't know when it's going to rain this time of year. And if you do get wet, it's a lot harder to dry out than during the summer months. And then making sure that you're seen as well, if you're riding in sort of traffic, and if you're not in traffic, that you've got lights in case the light fades, because that's another problem this time of year, is the fading light.
Yeah. So I think that there's quite a lot to cover. And if we do being seen, we'll be here all day. Mm-hmm. And I also think we could probably do a nighttime riding episode at some point, which would be fun. Mm-hmm. So should we just go on warm and wet for today?
Sounds good to me, yeah.
What are your sort of thoughts on keeping kids warm in the winter?
Yeah, I think there's two different types of children when you're out cycling in the winter. There's the ones who are pedalling and the ones who are sitting still, so who are in bike seats or trailers or in cargo bikes. And I think you've got two different issues there. I think if we tackle the ones who are pedalling themselves, mine wanted to be so warm, so they'd get out the house, or if we were going somewhere, they'd get out the car, and they'd be like, I'm freezing, and then they would put hundreds of layers on, and then they'd start pedalling, and they'd go, I'm too hot. So it's making sure that you've got sort of a happy balance, trying to get them to start pedalling before they're overheating,
yeah.
And then having plenty of layers with you, and then wearing layers. So if they start to get hot, if you're going up hills, for example, if you're out mountain biking, they can take layers off. But then the moment you stop, you have to have layers to put them to put back on to keep them keep them warm. So yeah, and gloves. Gloves for me are an absolute obsession, because that's actually it's why I started CycleSprog, because I couldn't find any gloves for my two-year-old, and I decided to write an article about it. And it still is a problem, really, finding gloves that are small enough and flexible enough for small hands. Thankfully, things have moved on over the years, but some children really, really feel the cold, and therefore gloves are an essential piece of the equipment. It's worth saying as well, other children just don't seem to feel the cold. And my youngest was completely different to my eldest. My eldest was like, you know, shivering, and my youngest would cycle around in shorts in the middle of winter. So some people might be listening to this and going, what on earth is she talking about?
My son is not too bad, but I've been taking a bike out to him to collect him from school, and I put mittens on him the other day. So I had my youngest in the front of our cargo bike and my eldest cycling along beside me. We're both going down a gentle hill at that point. And then, Daddy, I can't use my brakes. We're sort of rolling downhill. So I'm trying to get control my bike and then grab him. And in the end, I ended up just sort of saying, just ride on the grass, and just sort of getting him to go up on the verge. And I think something, he just had a malfunction with his mittens, because they're sort of good for keeping him warm, but they're... you know, all the fingers on his hand are in one kind of compartment. And for some reason, he just couldn't reach his brake levers at that point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mittens, I think, are better for children who are sitting still and not pedalling. So
right.
Having that flexibility with the fingers is slightly better. Although there are some cycling-specific mittens that have been made as well,
right.
That you can get that are supposed to be much more flexible and enable you to reach the brake levers better.
I to be honest, I can't keep track of my own gloves, so I use bar end mitts on the bike. So the idea being that they just live on the bike and they're always there when I come to use it. But unfortunately, I do share the bike with my wife, and she doesn't like having the mittens on. So it means about once a week, the mittens are somewhere in the garage. So on the first day where I'm using the bike for school drop off, there's a mad hunt for those in the middle of winter. And then obviously during the summer months, they have to be relocated at the start of each winter anyway.
So how do they attach?
They're sort of the things that some motorcycle users have, but they just slot over the brake levers and the handlebar grips. And then you sort of cinch, they've got a strap that you just cinch tight to where the handlebars are, and they just sit there. And then what I do is, when I park up, if I think it's going to rain, I just turn them so that the bits you stick your hand into are pointing down at the ground. And then that's mm-hmm. usually enough that they can stay dry.
Excellent. And you don't have the same problem, obviously, that your son was having with the ability to brake with them, because they're in position, aren't they?
No, I don't. But the only issue that comes from them, and I think why my wife doesn't like using them, is when you pull your hand out to indicate... If there's something going on, you need to suddenly brake, it can be hard to get your hand back into the mitten to grab the lever. But they've got a soft exterior, so what I do is I just grab the outside and brake. That takes some getting used to, the sort of confidence that you can squeeze the outside of the mitten and the brake levers will keep working. So I think it's time to speak to our special guest. Karen has done an interview with Paul. Paula's from Little Pro. That's a great website where they pull together a load of quality cycling brands that also do child sizes. So let's hear a bit from Paul and Karen now.
So we're talking today, Paul, about winter cycling in particular. So one of my obsessions is keeping the kids' fingers warm in gloves. So if somebody's listening to this and they're thinking, right, I need to keep my kids' hands warm during the winter, should we start out by saying, okay, what's the difference between, you can get a full-fingered glove and then you can get a winter glove. So what are you looking for? What's the difference and why do you need a specific winter glove?
Right, so the standard kind of full-fingered gloves are generally speaking aimed at kind of mountain bikes, although I have a general recommendation that I kind of tell most people to just go with a full-fingered glove for most of the time. That's purely on the basis that if the kids come off, even in the summertime, there's a little bit of protection on the end of the fingers, saves a lot of tears. That kind of glove is based around, as I say, protection and stopping the kids' damage. And I always say if they come off the bike, the first thing to hit the floor is going to be their hands, generally speaking, unless they do a really good job of it. So a standard full finger glove is kind of the default recommendation, and that kind of does, especially with our own kids, it kind of does most of the year round, until you get to the kind of November, December, January, February time when it gets really, really cold outside. Generally speaking, the same principle as we say with all of the winter wear, and it's more layers help. So rather than just a big, thick, fluffy kind of duvet, the layers up help. Now, obviously, with a glove, it's quite hard to add lots and lots of different layers. So the winter gloves that you get from the main kind of cycling brands, certainly the decent ones, they tend to be three or four layers within the one glove. So obviously, that gives you, in most cases, it'll give you a kind of waterproof layer on the outside, and then be one or two kind of warm layers on the inside. Whereas, say, the standard kind of mountain bike gloves will just be a single layer thick, just for protection purposes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that waterproofing is important, isn't it? Because I know when we started out, we thought, oh, we'll just be okay with their normal gloves. And then when it starts to rain, they just get sodden. And sort of, especially got those sort of woolly ones, they can't actually move the fingers properly because they actually get colder with the cold rain, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. Especially if you've got a kind of, it's a default pair of woolly winter gloves, the slightest bit of moisture on them, and it actually works the opposite way. It wicks the heat away from the fingers, so it just makes life a lot more uncomfortable and a lot colder for them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, as soon as your hands get wet or as soon as your gloves get wet, you're kind of on a downhill slope, as it were. The kids are just going to get colder and colder, and there's not really any getting back from that. I mean, to that end, we often used to take, before we found kind of decent stuff, we used to take two or three different pairs of gloves on any one outing with us. Especially on the old school runs, we used to get up in the morning, take one pair to school, and by the time we got to school, they'd be sopping wet, change them out when we got to school, so they had another pair to wear in school, and then another pair to wear home on the ride.
Yeah,
home.
I can remember those days, yes. I think we ended up, once we actually found a decent pair, we ended up with two pairs, one that was just for cycling, and then one was for the rest of the time. Yeah, one of my bugbears was trying to get their fingers into the gloves every morning. That was
It's a very worthy mention, and there are, you do have some of the younger brands now which are kind of starting to recognise this, and especially the very young kids. When they talk about mine, who've been 2, 3, 4, 5, trying to get the gloves onto them, and trying to get gloves onto potentially damp hands in the morning as well.
Sticky fingers, yeah.
Sticky fingers, yeah. So they've actually started producing gloves with a much bigger opening, or a much bigger kind of elasticated opening, to make life easier to get those gloves on and off.
So what sort of brands should we be looking at then?
So for that kind of thing, my favourite brand definitely at the moment is the Tygo. The chap who behind Tygo is a cycle instructor. He does cycling proficiencies and goes into different schools, etc. So he's got a wealth of experience with the younger kind of kids. So he understands what they're after. He understands all the kind of things that we're talking about. When you look at those gloves, they've got a kind of a longer, wider elasticated opening on them. They are waterproof, but they're also quite a thin thin glove, so they're not like a big, thick, clumsy winter glove that you sometimes see. They're quite thin and also very grippy for the younger kind of riders. So it gives you the performance, but without losing the ability to reach the brakes and the ability to grip, obviously, the brakes.
So if you had older ones then, so the Tego are great for that younger range. What sort of brands in general for winter kit would you recommend?
Several of the main brands, or quite a few of the main brands, do actually come up with some fairly decent winter gloves. Now, Polaris are always a name that springs to mind. They've mm-hmm. been around. In fact, they were one of our original suppliers when we set up, and they were one of the original kind of children's wear
ranges. Yeah, we've used their stuff. Yeah.
They are great. They're winter gloves. They have a couple of different models of the winter glove, which are fairly consistent in terms of their availability over the years. One thing Polaris do, which I quite like, is that they don't often change their ranges, which this is as a more general thing, I think as parents really suits us because we're lazy.
Plus, you know what's good, you can recommend it to the next generation coming through and you know it's going to be good, don't you?
Yeah, well, I don't know about you, but I kind of the opinion once I find something that works really well...
Yeah, you just want to stick with it and get the next size up. Yeah.
Just want to go and buy the next size.
Yeah. It's whereas, like, stopped making it.
Exactly. And some of the brands, like Altura, often refresh their ranges on an annual basis. So when you go back to try and buy the same thing next year, it's just not there, which is fine. It's still good quality stuff, but you're kind of back to the drawing board in terms of, is it actually going to perform? Is it going to do what I want to do? Whereas at least with the Polaris ranges, there's that consistency there.
So as well as gloves, I think jackets are another really important part of the winter kit. So I guess some of the same principles will apply when we're looking at jackets, waterproofing, layers, that sort of thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. We always say layers, 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 layers. It's kind of like a repeating mantra, really. And I think with the jackets, it's even more important to layer up a decent over jacket on and then a decent kind of windbreak stroke waterproof jacket over the top. And there's some quite good options around, especially with the kind of pack away lightweight jackets at the moment, which will do over the top, and also the slightly heavier weight, you know, over jacket for the kind of winter warmth, which you could put underneath as well. So there's some very good choices around at the moment.
So you'd layer, would you then? So you'd layer a warmer jacket with a sort of one of those pack away ones over the top?
Generally speaking, I would, yeah. There's a few options on the market which are, if you like, an all-in-one kind of thicker winter jacket, which is also waterproof, which I think it is fine for, again, the really, really cold days when you know it's going to be frozen. But most of the manufacturers now, if you kind of look at the ranges and the way they're going, they are going to a kind of a long-sleeved zipped jacket for warmth purposes, and then a lighter weight kind of cagoule type top over the top.
And then you can mix and match, can't you? And I think that sort of thing makes it seasonally, you're not constantly having to buy new stuff. You can have things that you wear, you know, if it's raining, things you wear if it's cold, and then things you wear if it's cold and raining.
Exactly,
And
it's always a pressure on the pocket, if you like, for us as parents, because if you've got to buy everything for every kind of possibility, then you wind up with a sack full of kit that's been worn three times.
And then they've grown out of it next year.
Yeah, exactly. You wind up having more children just so you can use the kit that you've bought.
Yeah.
And again, this is all stuff where they've taken the kind of the adult kit that they're producing and the stuff that us as grown-ups want to wear, and they've just scaled it down. So it's proper kit.
Yeah, proper kit that's going to keep you dry. So, Alex, we've been chatting away here. Have you got anything you want to ask Paul?
Mrs. BB is in the market for some new gloves. What would you recommend I get for her?
I would have to say I'd follow what I do and what my other half also does, and as we are both subscribed to the Polaris sets of gloves.
So. Awesome. Cheers, mate. I haven't heard of that brand before, so I'll give them a look.
Do we need to say thank you to Paul?
Yes.
And say goodbye, or do we just let him sort of hang on until
you
the
do
end?
It. You, so. You do it, Karen. You say thank you and goodbye.
So, Paul, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your expertise. Do you just want to remind us what your website is and how people can go and find these different products?
Absolutely. Our website is at www.littlepro.co.uk, and all of the products that we've talked about are on there and available. And thank you very much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. And just to let our listeners know, I will put in the show notes links to the various products that we've talked about as well, so they can just go through and find them direct.
Super.
So thanks very much, Paul.
Cheers. Excellent. So what else do you think people should do? So layering up, gloves, any other tips for the winter for warming yourself while you're out on the bike?
Pedaling faster, going up hills, keeping moving.
That's a good one.
Because I find if you stop, you cool down very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So it's trying to avoid, I don't know about you, but when I cycle with my children, they always want to stop, they want snacks, there's always debates about which way we're going and that sort of thing, especially at the weekends if we're out mountain biking. So I think it's making sure you're prepared, you're not having to constantly stop and try and find things, or having snacks maybe readily available to keep them going. And I would also say don't try anything too adventurous or too new. So, you know, if you are going out at the weekend, go and do routes that you know where you're going, that the children are more than capable of completing, and that you're going to finish in time before the weather gets too cold or too dark.
Yeah. And do you have a sort of rule of thumb for how much more time you would give a route if you were with your kids than if you're out with a friend or anything like that?
Oh, I wish there was a simple formula. Sometimes they are just in the mood to pedal, and you get around something really quick, and other times, oh my goodness, yeah, it takes hours. And it's always the time when you're a little bit time-pressed that they're not.
Yeah.
But I think the one thing I've learned is always give yourself plenty of time. So in the winter, it does involve maybe being up earlier and getting out riding quicker, not trying to bite off more than you can chew, and giving yourself plenty of time to get back in case you have an incident, whatever that may be, that you're not battling with the fading light as well.
Yeah.
It's handy.
What about wetness? How do you stay dry when you're out in the field, so to speak?
Have a little head caps that go under the cycle helmets. We all have those. You can get small kid size ones through to big adult ones. That's really useful, just for keeping your hair dry and also for keeping you warm on really cold days. When my youngest was really little and was on the front bike seat, I had a brilliant thing, which was like a windscreen that went in on my handlebars, so that he was completely protected from the oncoming rain going into his face, which was absolutely brilliant, because when I'd used to drop him off at nursery and then cycle back, I would be able to just like bend down a little bit and get behind it and keep myself dry as well.
Right. The tactic I kind of use, so I've sort of gone full circle, because I used to ride in all kinds of specialist cycling gear, and just the more and more I try to ride in my normal clothes. So yeah, I went through a period where I thought, oh no, you know, I want to normalize cycling, so I'll just wear normal clothes as much as possible. And then I realized, like, no, I'm the guy who's getting wet. I'm being a bit of a mug here. So then I went back to trying to protect myself with proper cycling gear. But I'm now a massive fan of the ponchos, which I know look really silly, but it's very hard to be sad or upset when you're wearing a poncho. And I almost love the fact that they kind of enrage the right kind of person. And I've just found that they're unbelievably brilliant at keeping you dry. And then the water just sheets off from the poncho. But yeah,
that's a really good idea. And I guess, yeah, it probably stops that problem that, I mean, I get it, because my waterproof is tight fitting. And if I don't then wear waterproof leggings, it just kind of all pools down and onto my trousers. I might have to think about a poncho. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, they are good. And although the thing that happened to me the other day was I was pushing the cargo bike up, and this guy stopped me and said, oh, you should get a motor for that. And I was like, oh no, it has got a motor. And then the next thing was, he goes, oh well, the kids are dry, but you're not. And I was wearing my poncho, and I said, no, I've got this, it's fine, it's great. And he goes, oh, and then it was something else like, that'll get in the way while you're cycling. And I lifted the poncho up to show him the hooks on the underside of the poncho that go on the handlebars. And sort of put it in front of my face. And then when I dropped the poncho, I realised he had just got so fed up, he'd walked off and was halfway down the high street.
But people love to give you their opinions, don't they, of why you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I know. And I think he was just... it's a really strange experience where I thought, you know, I do this all the time. I presumably have thought about some of the everyday problems of cycling.
And I think what we've sort of touched on here is everybody's got their own unique situation and solution for it. You just have to sort of try things out and work out what works for you.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're cycling and the type of cycling you're doing. I think I've fallen in love with Gore-Tex lined trainers.
Right.
So they just look like normal kind of active walking, not like walking boots, but just those sort of active trainery walking shoes you can get. But for winter, I make sure I get the Gore-Tex lined ones so that my feet stay nice and dry.
Yeah, they sound great. I don't might have to have a look. As I say, I'm just in leather walking boots at the moment.
So I think we haven't mentioned keeping sort of little ones warm. We've talked about, you know, what you're doing if you're cycling yourself. I think it's a really different problem that you have if your little one is just sitting on the bike.
Yeah.
In a seat, or in a trailer, slightly better because they usually have a cover on them.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, even in a trailer, you need to make sure that they're really, really layered up, and you've got blankets and things, and same in a cargo bike. But then if they're on the bike seat and you're not able to give them the same level of protection, then those kind of all-in-one waterproofs that you can get, they can be really, really good. And then just making sure that they are really, really warm, because there's no chance of them sort of increasing their body heat through activity.
Yeah.
And I know I said try and not stop when you're out on a ride in the winter, but actually if you've got a little one on the back or on the front, you might need to stop to let them off to run around to warm up to get back on again.
And do you have any sort of ways of checking whether your kids are warm enough while you're out and about?
Or? They usually let you know, don't they? Although, being serious, if a little one gets very, very cold, then they won't let you know. So you do have to keep an eye on the very small ones who can't voice their discontent.
Yeah, because they sometimes just refuse to wear a coat, and you sort of think, okay, well, we'll give that 10 minutes.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to let them, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And then I think you will see it my way. But they're quite well trained now.
And does your front cargo bike box have a cover, like a waterproof protector?
Yeah, we used to reuse the Hammock Siesta seat for my eldest, and we had the rain poncho that goes with it. And actually the move to a cargo bike was to increase the amount of weather protection. I took him swimming and it had been really badly raining, and he had the poncho on, but his face was just covered in water. And I think he said something to me like, "I'm cold, daddy, wet, daddy." And so we were like, "Oh, we'll upgrade to the cargo bike." But as I say, we're car free. So our cargo bike is essentially a little car that we use for all kind of local journeys. So for us, it made sense to upgrade. I think a lot of people use trailers as well, which I think offer most of the same benefits.
Yeah, it's just so important if you're using it, like you said, as your full-time mode of transport, that, you know, yeah, you do have that sort of weather protection.
Cool. Well, I think that's about it. I think we've thoroughly discussed winter riding. Hopefully there's nothing we've missed. I'm sure people can let us know, or if they want more details on anything, we can try and work it out for another podcast. Is there anything else you think we should cover?
I don't know how to say. Is it pogies? 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 I heard the other day that a range has been brought out for kids who sit on front seats. So that you can attach them to the adult handlebars, and then your child can put their hands inside them and keep toasty and warm. They're by a brand called Shotgun, Kids Ride Shotgun, who make the front seats. But I think they probably work with all manner of front seats as long as your child can reach the handlebars. So I'll pop a link to that in the show notes. It'd be great to hear from people. What solutions do they use? And sort of just spread the knowledge and spread the love of cycling in the winter with your kids.
Great. Perfect. Cool. All right, Karen, well, I'll see you next time. Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye.
Cheers. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Family Cycling Podcast. This episode was edited by me, Alex Baines-Buffery, and we are supported by Cyclesprog, the family cycling website. I'd like to thank Paul Ebray from Little Pro for all his winter cycling expertise. Thanks to Tristan Jones and Phil Middleton for the music. A big thank you to my co-host, Karen G. Without all their help, this podcast would not have been possible. You can find links to all the products we've mentioned in the show notes accompanying this episode at cyclesprog.co.uk. Some of the links are affiliate links. This means that we get a small commission if you click and buy something. Please rest assured that we will only ever recommend products to you that we would be happy to recommend to our friends and family. Using the links in the show notes is a great way to support the Family Cycling Podcast, and we really appreciate it. Please comment below if you enjoyed this episode. Please like and subscribe. It's a great way to help motivate us and keep this podcast going. We'll be back again soon with another episode of the Family Cycling Podcast. Until then, from everyone here at FCP, we wish you wonderful winter riding.